thank you so much for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and this is Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know what we are, but not what we will become. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. That isn't all, though. It still has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough when it gets out of the cocoon, in order for it to be able to fly wherever it wants to go. None of that can be easy, but neither is busting through the limits that society places upon people. And today I'm really excited to share with you Delisa Abraham. And I'm not sure if Faith is joining us or not, but she will be joining us through the stories of her books, whether or not she's with us personally. So they are a family in Canada, and I'm going to let her tell you all about themselves in just a minute. I do want to remind you, if you're watching, to please give us a hashtag live and let us know where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, to do the same thing, but hashtag replay. And I think that's all the businessy stuff I have for today. So Delisa, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me on today, and to everyone listening in either live or for the replay. Thank you for being here. Welcome. And I hope you're ready for a fantastic time today.
Yes. Awesome. So yeah. So Delisa, just tell us what is it about you and your situation that brings you to hashtag no limits?
You know, I really wanted to share that there are no limits, not even in age, gender, race, anything, that whatever your mind conceives, what's in your heart, your passion, you can do it. And that is a great example with my daughter, Faith, as Shelley mentioned earlier. So she is feeling a little tired. She did swimming, and then she tried parkour for the first time yesterday with some older kids. Yeah, so she tried that, and so her body's like, I'm tired. And then this morning, so she's homeschooled, but the library has like clay making. And they have a whole art series where these artists comes in. So she was working with clay early this morning, and she's like, Mom, I need to sleep. I'm like, all right, go take a rest.
And that's amazing. How old is she?
She is six right now.
She is six. And the fact that she is self-advocating, as well as recognizing that her body needed sleep. That is so amazing. Kudos to you for instilling that in her, but also to her for being able to recognize and to say, I can't do anything else. I need to rest.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you mentioned, it is a process. It's great that she can use her voice, and I'm happy, but that was intentional on my part. When I was pregnant and even after, and always continuously remind her, if there is a problem, however you're feeling, this is a safe space. I want you to share it. I don't know what's going on in your mind. I don't know what you're feeling, but I need you to share that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was speaking to my daughter who was in her early 20s, and she was telling me she's had a big decision to make, and she really wasn't physically feeling the greatest. And she's like, I just don't know. And I said, well, I don't know how you feel, so I can't tell you the answer. She's like, you always told me that when I was growing up too. Like, well, I can't.
we're not you. What I can do is guide you, because you see, we see what they're capable of. We know their limits and also where they can stretch. But at the end of the day, we cannot take the action out. Like, as parents, we can't like physically go and do it for you.
Right.
Only you can do that. The individual does that themselves. So, you know, any suggestion we can have all the suggestions. And at the end, we just say, well, you know, it's up to you. It's your decision.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't know how another person feels. So sorry, I kind of interrupted the flow of your story there.
No, you didn't. You didn't. This is perfect. This is how I like it. This conversation, organic flow, because this is what people want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So Faith is not joining us because she has self-advocated and said she needs to rest. And so tell us a little bit more about Faith.
Absolutely. when she was three, her first book got published, Superhero Faith. And that happened when my mom had cancer. And she was going through, my mom was going through a tough time. And Sparkle is our dog. That's our disabled dog and our rescue pup. And Faith and Sparkle were there. We had to move in, support my mom on this journey because Faith wanted to help heal her. She just, this was her calling. And after my mom went through the chemo, the radiation, and had the support at home and all the love and hugs, Faith saw herself as a superhero doctor. And she told me this, you know, in the middle of the night after her third birthday, I'm tired because I just want to sleep. And it's like bed. And she was very insistent, which is great, but in a quiet way, because, you know, when you're now sharing your vision or your idea with someone, you don't know how they're going to accept it or reject it. And that's with children and adults, right?
Right. So absolutely.
So generally when they're coming to you, it comes out like this little whisper or, oh, I was thinking of this. And so that determines the flow of the conversation and everything else, right? It was really great that she could share that because, as you said, she's advocating for what she wants. And then she mentioned she wanted to do homework at the time. She called it homework to write it down. Now, could she write? She was, you know, 3 and a half. She wasn't the best writer. She's not the fastest writer. So I became a scribe.
Yeah. Hey, it works.
It worked. And she shared her story. And it happened on my mother's dining room table, the same home, the same dining room table. And she shared what a superhero doctor meant to her. This is it. And then all of a sudden it needed to be a real book. She's like, can this be a real book? And it was like, why not? Let's see where it goes. Mm-hmm. The whole process of doing this wasn't to say, okay, you're going to be this published author and you're going to do that. It was going on the journey and showing her and myself at that time that when we start something, we have an idea, there's different seasons. So at that point, it's like, this is where you're at. Let's see where it's going and we'll complete it to the end. And if it happens, great. And if it doesn't, at least we know that this is what we accomplished in this time and the growth that we needed. Turned out, as I went to different publishing houses, they loved the story. But then I wanted it to be hers. Back to autonomy, as you were mentioning, and using your voice, advocating for yourself. I was like, I want this to be hers. I want her to remember when she's 13, 20, 30, whatever age, that this was mine. This is my idea. I wanted this to come to fruition because as we're going through the ebbs in life, as I want to call them, we need the flows in life to remind us, to encourage us. And so we went through all of that. And then all of a sudden the book comes in and people loved it. Children were attracted to it. They were magnetized to the story. They saw themselves in there. And then all of a sudden she wants to be a speaker and she's speaking in front of hundreds of people and she's sharing about her message, which is kindness and compassion, her message that was from the start, right? How to be kind to people, how to be a superhero. You're a superhero, you're kind. You're a doctor, you're kind. You're being vulnerable, you're asking for help. And so that was the start of the No Limits for her.
Right. Yeah. And what an incredible journey for a 3-year-old. And at the time that she was three, did she have, which we haven't mentioned yet, her autism diagnosis?
Okay. So yes, she was at 2 and a half, she was going to a Montessori school. Mm-hmm. And so in that system, for those that are not aware of the Montessori system, they go with your like with the child's abilities, right? So some are further along than others. So it's not like, so that was that. And so it worked out in the favor, but then they didn't understand some of the teachers based on what they were saying to me, that is where they were pointing to. And as a parent, I was like, no, not denying what they're saying, but at the same time, recognizing I see where she's at. I'm working with her as well. And yes, she likes to walk around. That doesn't mean she has ADHD. Doesn't mean she has this or that. Let's really sit down and figure out what is happening. And because of that, that's how the autistic, on the spectrum came about from the Montessori school, and then watching her behavior, watching how she was, her interactions, as well as recognizing that she has these amazing gifts, talents, and abilities. And fast forward from 2.5 to 5 years old, now supporting the Autism Speaks across North America, and then becoming an ambassador when she's 6.
Wow. That's incredible. And, you know, I mean, the fact that autism is a part of her. I mean, just the fact that I was just blown away that at 3.5, she was already writing a book and knew that, you know, she needed to put this information down, and she wanted to turn it into something other than just, you know, some words or some scribbles on some pages at home. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in the autism, and I love what you said about the gifts that she has that are attributing to the autism diagnosis, because I think so much of society just says, oh, somebody has autism, ADHD, or dyslexia, or whatever. And so therefore I need to feel sorry for them, or they're not as able as, you know, myself or someone else. And so we have this tendency to not appreciate all of the factors, all of the characteristics that can come along with having any of those labels.
You know, it's so interesting to me. It's not really interesting, but I think it's just, you know, and, but that's her.
No, there she is.
You don't have your pants on, girly. You wanted to say hi.
Oh, hi, Faye.
One second. Go, quickly. Yeah, you're right. No, that's my dad. Go get yourself. She was hearing. Like, she wanted to rest, and she's like, okay, I'm just going to.
Yeah, I'm just going to pop in. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that, everyone.
That's okay.
But what I find interesting is that when there are people in, for example, I'm just going to use Elon Musk, that have Asperger's, right? That he's diagnosed with that. Or even Albert Einstein, right? And Napoleon Hill, right? And all of these people, Thomas Edison. I know these are a lot of males that I'm speaking of here. But the fact that they had this diagnosis, people don't attribute, like they don't say, oh, and by the way, they have autism.
Right.
Or they were labeled with this. They just look at their gifts. And how they see themselves isn't someone with autism. All they just see, this is what's in me and I need to get it out.
Right.
And that is how I train Faith. So some people might say to her, oh, you know, she has autism. And it's like, for her, she's like, no, this is what I'm supposed to do.
So she,
yeah, because I didn't train her to think in that sense that you are less than, or you're this, or you're that, versus I see so many, not just people, but there are also children that just accept, I have a disability. And so this makes me, their mindset shifts, their perspective shifts.
Right.
And it's like, no, you can function like everybody else. You have all of the things. And I understand there might be certain areas where support is needed, right? But that is with everyone. And if we support the areas that need to be supported and encourage the children and or adults to thrive in their strength, and we empower them in that, huge difference. Then we have, like, you know, the Helen Keller that's like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, how are you like creating such amazing art? How could you see and you are blind? Well, they're using, it's their mind, their mindset, their vision is completely different. How they view themselves, how their aura, their energy that they're putting out, that magnetism is extremely different.
Yes, absolutely. And I so appreciate all of that, because when I talk to people that, and this is really honestly one of the reasons why I do the show, is to try to change the perspective of people who aren't familiar with mm-hmm. particular disabilities, but they've heard about them and they've heard about stereotypes and they've heard about certain things, but they don't know someone, or they don't know, you know, in general people that might have a particular disability. And so I do this show to bring that exposure, to try to change their perspective, to look at the abilities, to look at the gifts that come along with having whatever it is as part of their system. I mean, I think about myself and, you know, as a redhead, I am something like 2% of the entire world's population as a redhead. But I don't walk around and say, I'm a redhead. So, you know, because there's only 2% of me, I have to make it known to you, and you have to treat me such and such a way, or you have to be weary that I'm going to, you know, have a hot temper, or, you know, whatever the other stereotypes are with redheads. It's just part of me. It isn't who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I have hundreds of other characteristics and qualities. Mm-hmm. It's just one of them.
Yes.
And that's how I look at someone who gets an eligibility for special education here in the United States or elsewhere in the world, or, you know, who has that label of whatever, in her case, autism, is okay. So that's one part of who you are. It's not, that doesn't define who you are. And trying to, with this show, with my book, trying to get others to recognize that and appreciate that and have a better understanding, and therefore treatment of everyone is better.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, so we work with a lot of teachers and some parents in the U.S. mm-hmm. as well within the educational system. And there are those that are like you, advocating and doing all that you can to just transform not only the perspective, but also to empower the child. And that's one of the things we do at Faith and Sparkles World. So Faith herself, she has the book, she do speaking, she even has a workshop. And we're putting out the series where she's, you know, letting people know, she's informing you how to become an author. She's sharing that. So the first video went out yesterday, where she was telling you, you know, how to start. The first part, you need your idea, and how do you get these ideas? Where do your idea come from? And so she shares that with them. And then, of course, there's other things that's coming along. And then my part, because there's a demand for it, is the coaching, the mentorship piece for educators, for parents, because they really want to understand, how do I cultivate confidence? How do I create space? How do I set boundaries, not only for myself, but for my children? How can they thrive? Because, and you know this, and it's just proven, it's a fact, and they're shown, mental health, our mindset, has gone through the ringer.
Yes.
And there is just so much information, so much content, a lot of negativity that children, their young minds cannot absorb all of it. And it becomes misconstrued. And they don't understand the meaning of a lot of things, obviously, because they're still growing, they're developing as their minds are. And so all of these things, as parents, we have to pay attention to, and we have to set these boundaries, and we also have to have these open conversations. And so for children that are in special educations or have a diagnosis, it is also the same way. And if we allow them to ask the questions, what does this word mean? And we let them know the meaning of words, instead of focusing on saying, well, you don't know how to read at like 5 years old, so something is wrong with you. Something, just the comprehension piece is where it's needing, and fostering that level of learning, fostering that love of language and words, that in itself is so much more powerful. powerful than saying at 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, you should be reading, right? And mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. I want people to recognize, like, understand me. That's wonderful. But there are so many people that are readers, but they don't ask questions. They're not inquisitive. They don't even know the meaning of words. And so right. they're seeing things, they're engaging in things, and then they're using words that are negatively impacting themselves, right? Because words are energy. So they're using negative words or saying, I can't do this, or you are this, or you are that. Maybe they hear it. Maybe they see it on a program. Maybe they're friends on the playground, whatever it is. They're ingesting it into their mind. And then they start believing, I am whatever it is that they heard, without fully understand how deeply this is impacting them. And so we have this crisis in our mindset, not only with children, but also with the adults. And that's where my part comes in and saying, you need to start creating the space. We have to do the gardening work, get rid of those weeds, mm-hmm. till the soil. I know that's an old word, tilling right. the soil, right. turning around, preparing it to plant the seeds, and whatever is already there that's growing, that's, you know, trying to thrive after you clear away, then we do the work to protect it and to allow it to grow, that positivity, that positive mindset. And that in itself, once the parents are and the educators, their mind is good, their energy is good, they understand how to create the space, then through osmosis, our children, they absorb it. Their mindset shifts. They start becoming inquisitive and curious and thinkers, as well as doers, right? But not only just doers, but thinkers as well. And now you have this harmonious relationship with each other. And all of a sudden, everyone is thriving. Is there going yes. to be some ebbs? Absolutely. That's life. That happened. But yep. when you're strong mentally and spiritually, it's everything else just kind of like flows. Not kind of like, it just
it does.
And thrives.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I agree with everything that you're saying. I mean, the guest that I had last week, we talked about that too. She is also a teacher in the United States. And we mentioned how it is so important to speak life into our students. And mm-hmm. as a society, we need to do the same thing, whether you have a person in your life who is of a student age that we typically think about. We're all really students throughout our entire lives. We can always be learning something else. And the mental health aspect of it is such an under, it doesn't get enough attention. Underrated. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, getting into those kids' minds and saying, you know what, someday I know that you're going to be a great whatever because mm-hmm. of what you just showed me in class today, or yes. because of what you've shown me for the last 2 months or the last mm-hmm. year or whatever. And, you know, and then, but also saying that to kids in your neighborhood,
yes.
you know, it, that whole saying of it takes a village to raise a child really needs to be brought back into the forefront of everybody's minds, because mm-hmm. yes, it's, you know, that child has parents, but if a neighbor or even a, you know, just an acquaintance comes up mm-hmm. and says, you know what, you're really polite because I saw you do whatever, you know, mm-hmm. that was really kind of you. I really appreciate that. Or that was really respectful of you to do that, or so helpful or whatever. Or, you know what, that you didn't really do that very well, but I know that you have it in you to do better next time. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just saying, whatever, it's not my kid, I don't have to worry about him.
100%. I agree. That mindset in I believe it's Japan, if I'm not mistaken, like children, it's like the whole country is responsible for mm-hmm. poor children, right? They can take the bus and stuff everywhere. I'm not saying that that's what's happening, but there's so many children that they're safe. They can go out. There are people that are in the schools, instead of focusing on the math and the English or the math, the reading and the writing right away, the first year is like this love of learning. And then they learn about respect and manners and those things. similar in Nordic countries. That's one of the first things that they start learning. They fostering this love of learning and showing manners and respect. These old ways, it's not even really old, it's just this way of being, needs to be implemented right back in North America, because you'll start seeing a transformation in children, in adults. All of a sudden, instead of just sitting there blindly being zombies to Netflix or Amazon or whichever new is the latest stuff or music, now they're creating, they are inventing, and they're living purposely. They're living passionately, and yes, they're in sync and in tune.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure that we're on topic anymore, because I know we're talking about the education system, and it's important to talk about faith and sparkles in you and everything. But I think this encompasses how you are raising faith. And the fact that we do need to be better. I think so often about our kids here in the United States, and I'm not sure how it is in Canada, but at the age of 5 or 6, and sometimes even younger here in the United States, we say, okay, it's time for you to go to school. Whether the child is developmentally ready or not, we've said, this is the age, this is when you need to go. And then we don't do that. We don't teach them a love of learning. We expect them to come to us in our school systems ready and excited and happy to be there. And yet, in a weird sense, they're like little prisoners, because we tell them, you have to go here, you have to line up in this way, you have to sit here in this way, you have to get along with everybody, you can't be mad at anybody, you have to, take this subject, and you have to do it when, the teacher deems it is the right time in the day, and blah, 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 blah. And then we make them do that for 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And then, as they're getting into middle school and high school, going, why are these kids so disruptive? Why don't they behave? Well, because we haven't given them any autonomy, any desire to be there. It's just forced upon them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing a whole century year system in this new technology revolution, right? Or evolution. Right. I'm not sure what the term is here now. That is showing us that, hey, things need to change. And so this is why getting into the school systems, working with educators, this is so huge for us. Because once the leadership, so it starts at the top. Of course, I know that's in government and all those things. But if principals are getting the training, most of them are in positions that they don't understand what the heck they're supposed to be doing. But they have the positions. And that's fine. But they need that training. What is a leader? They don't even have a vision of what they want their school to look like. They don't even know what type of students they want to attract in their school, right? Mm-hmm. And what type of students that to build a community. They just see, this is a school, this is the industry, that's it. Not as that community mindset. And then the teachers themselves, and this is not everyone, right? I know I'm speaking broadly here. With some of the teachers as well, they're exhausted. I mean, you're dealing with 25, 30, maybe more kids. If you're a special eds teacher, sometimes you don't even know what the main teacher is teaching or what they're learning. And then you're trying to teach the child something else. So there's this confusion. There's all these agendas that these kids have to take home and get something signed. And the parents are like, I'm done.
Right.
And because of that, it's confusing. There's this disruption, and then they're not abiding by the rules. And why can't they sit still and all of these things?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, I mean, what you said about, taking the agenda home to the parents, I've explained for years and years that, here, many of the schools that I've worked in, there will be students who will lose points or get some sort of a discipline because an adult didn't sign off on their homework or their planner or their agenda or whatever. And I've said to teachers, you understand that you are grading an adult, first of all, that you don't have any interaction with or control over, but you're putting that responsibility on a child to make an adult do something. Mm-hmm. How many of us, yeah, exactly. How many of us allow our children to tell us what to do? Mm-hmm. None of us. Well, hopefully none of us. But yet here we are in the school system going, well, you didn't force your parent to sign this form. So you're now going to lose points on that work, or you're going to miss recess, or, I mean, it's ridiculous. And to get teachers to see that is really, really difficult. And to get principals to understand, like, you know, if you, I hear so often, it's about teaching responsibility. That's why we do this.
No,
it's not about teaching responsibility. That is, you're again, you're making a child responsible for an adult. That's not the logicness of worlds.
So what I do, and the work that I'm doing, and the work not only me personally, but with Faith and Sparkle's World, is shifting the mindset of educators to recognize, build the community first. You have to build the community. These children are with you one-on-one for like 50 hours in a week, some of them even more. It's like they're going and doing an executive level position job. This is
right.
Yeah, because of the amount of time, and I'm including sometimes the daycare or the aftercare or whatever that they have to get. And once you see it as a community, having that vision, then you look at individually the teachers, their strengths, what they can do. Now, the curriculum is the curriculum. We understand that. But when you recognize what type of community you have, then recognize that what are the strengths of the team in the community that you have. Mm-hmm. Then you have the results that you want, these goals. So it's very, I used to work in corporate and I'm a researcher and all of these things. So when you look at it similarly to how they do it in the corporate world, but remember you're dealing with children and people, right, it's a bit different. Then you take these simple things and your first step, and I always say this, is to create the space. You have to know the space that you are creating, the community that you're creating. And then after you start cultivating that space, you need to get similar to the influencers there. You need the fans. The fans are the students in the school. They need to want to be there. They need to be excited to be there. They are the fans. It's like they're going to a Taylor Swift concert and parents are shelling out thousands of dollars to see her for 3 hours. Ridiculous, in my opinion, but that's okay.
Yes.
But it's like that, right? It's that, and the kids are excited to be there. Why? Because their teachers are engaged and in tune. They're not burnt out and stressed out. And they're not burnt out and stressed out because not only did you create the community, but after you create a community, there's boundary setting. You start setting the boundaries. You lay down, okay, these are some of the rules that we're going to have here to make our community function and work so that you are able to use your voice authentically and in a respectful manner. A lot of people think if you're using your voice, it's anarchy. It is not. It can be in a respectful way. I'm treating you with respect. Yeah. So anyways, that's just a start, a tip of how we could start shifting the perspective, building the community, getting the students engaged, and always, every term, this is without fail, every term and every year, not only would you meet your goals and meet the expectations, but you would always do it joyfully. You would do it joyfully along with the members, your fans, the students in the community.
Yeah, and I really do think that that is so important, and something that is incredibly overlooked is engaging the students in not engaging them in the lesson, but in the idea of this is my community.
Yes.
These are, you know, I want to take care of these things. I want to respect my teacher. I want to be respected. Yes. And, you know, really getting them involved in the whole process. And we, I don't know about in Canada, but we in the United States, I don't feel do a good, I don't even, we do less than a poor job of it, I think. Mm-hmm. It's really, really sad, I think. So let's get back to more specifically Faith and Sparkles. So I'm going to bring up your website, if that's okay.
Yes,
and that way we can, you know, show a little bit more about the book, the cover of the book, how people can get the book, and talk a little bit about. So here we go. I've got your homepage up, and the website is Faith and Sparkles World, FaithandSparklesWorld.com. And right here on the homepage, we've got Literacy, a Child's Passport to Success. So I am guessing, based on how you have described Faith so far, that you read a lot to her when she was an infant and in her toddler years.
Yes. Reading is so important. And you can do it anytime, anywhere. There's no restriction to it. I love it. And the best part is, even with reading, their creativity, children's creativity comes about, and they create the stories. And this is where we want to listen to their stories, because that is that's the passport to success. The reading, the engaging, the communication, the bonding. And I wanted to share with everyone, her books won best children's in-book, e-books with Lux Life magazine in the best gift category.
Oh, and, awesome.
Yes. And her books will be at the Boston Children's Hospital and the Ronald McDonald House and the Pennsylvania Children's Hospital and Mental Health Institute. I can't remember the name of that particular institute, but and a few other places across North America, both in Canada and the U.S., for children that have pediatric brain cancer. So it will be in their resource center and in their homes. So literacy really is a child's passport to success, because it doesn't matter where the children are. They want to feel empowered. They want to share their creativity, similar to Faith when she was three and she wanted to share that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so down here it says these different packages, and I would like you to explain what these packages are and why somebody would, what the great benefits are that they would get from these.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So this is for our crowdfunder. And the reason why we have a crowdfunder is because we're expanding Faith and Sparkles World, and we're going to have an academy to support parents, to support educators, so that we can cultivate and nurture our children for growth. So the first package, Faith's package, this one, you're going to get two ebooks, one for parents specifically. And we're going to go through the creating space. It goes through communication and bonding and the effects of that. And the second one is for children. And that is just empowerment message. Like, I am kind. I am powerful. I am resilient. All of these things to start nurturing the mind, feeding the mind, and making that mental shift, shifting our perspective to that of positivity and thriving. The second package, hope. We all have hope. Now, you still get the ebooks, but now you're getting a copy of Faith's books. And the reason why we wanted to include Faith's books is because there are so many children that see themselves in Faith's story. Sometimes they take Faith's name out and they put their own name in. And it doesn't matter if the child has is in special education, is on the spectrum, neurodiverse, autistic, or just, you know, they're not in a special ed program. They all see themselves there. Why? Because the story is so simple. What she does to help her grandmother, what she does in Dr. Faith to help her friends, that vulnerability, all children do this. This is what they endeavor to do. How can I be a support? How can I be the superhero? And then the third package, the love package, is the first two packages combined. Then you'll get our I Am Powerful tote bag along with 15 minutes with Faith, with Sparkle, with myself. And you could ask her questions. You could ask me. Well, if it's a parent who want to ask me questions, great. But that your children can talk with Faith, ask Faith questions, maybe play a game. I have no idea, but, you know, you know, kids, sometimes they just ask questions. Other times they're like, I watch Barbie. Did you? Or something.
Right.
I don't
know. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So that's what we have. And those packages, really, I think it's, they're so much value. They're value packed. And it's going to transform your lives. Even if you start with the first one, which is the faith package, where you go up to the love package that's there, mm-hmm. where we're supporting you.
That sounds fantastic. And I'm so excited that this is something that is going to be available to anybody, no matter where they are in the world. Now, I imagine, you know, obviously the 15th, well, it does say Zoom. Okay. So it does say Zoom call. I was thinking, well, if they're close by, they might get an in-person, but if they're farther away, then of course they have to do Zoom. But how inspiring that must be to other children. And honestly, even to myself, because behind me is a book that I wrote and released a few years ago. And I was in my 40s when that happened. And actually, no, I was 49. I was a month away from my 50th birthday. And, you know, to write a book is not an easy process. And so I'm really excited to go back and find that video where she tells how to write a book, because I'm going to see how well I did according to the steps that she puts out there.
Well, step one came out yesterday. So when you go to at Faith and Sparkles World, either on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, like any of the channels, you're going to see her. That's like the first thing you will see, where she's telling you step one. You need an idea. Okay. You got to use the old noggin.
That's right.
Yeah. And then she tells you where your inspiration comes from.
And how to
write your story. That's step one.
Okay. That's awesome. So is there anything else on the website that you would like me to go to share with the audience right now?
Yeah, you can go to the mentorship page if you want to, or, you know, even the store. I mean, either one is fine. But so we have this is actually under construction right now, but, that's fine. On this page for our coaching, this page is really geared towards parents and educators.
Okay.
And this coaching step is to help you learn to create the space for your children. This is one-on-one and or group. We're creating a mentorship page, a membership page that's coming up after our Cultivating Confidence. I put it in there. So if you want to go up to our upcoming event that's happening, that is to genuinely get, I just put it, it's not on our events page.
Sorry.
In the chat there that we have.
Okay.
Yeah. So that will take you straight to the LinkedIn, and it's to really empower you to create that space so that you can start making the necessary transformations within yourself and with your family. It is so important to be able to do this. I cannot stress this enough. So we have an upcoming event called The Power of Cultivating Confidence. Right now it's filling up. I was expecting about 50 people. We're at 40 okay. or 42, I think. So it's starting to fill up. So I might have to open up more spaces for it. And educators, they are like, we need this. They're showing up. I have people from university professors. I have teachers and principals from Australia that signed up to attend this webinar. We have lots of teachers, high school teachers as well, saying, how can we connect? I want to know how to cultivate confidence. I even have parents, lawyers. There are lawyers and doctors whose children, some of them are on the spectrum. And, you know, some of them are a bit grown up, some of them not so much, but they want to know, how can I cultivate confidence in the home? How can I allow my child's gifts to shine without my fear getting in the way?
That's huge.
Yes. Yeah. So that, this specific program, this specific event free of charge is a nice introduction to our coaching program as well as to our membership. But what a great way to start. A great way to start so you could come and see what we're about and take away some practical tips that you could implement in your life. And if you're consistent within 30 days, this is and true story, but you got to do the work, right? Within 30 days of implementing the tips and the strategies that I'm going to share, you will start seeing a shift in your home and in your children. But you need to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. The work is so important. And I think so much of our society is into the quick fix that if it doesn't work within the first or second attempt at something, they want to give up. And anytime you are changing and working with behaviors, you have to give it time because it took a while for that behavior to develop. It'll take a while for that behavior to change and be replaced by a different and hopefully better behavior. So this is very exciting. And this is free. Is that correct?
This is free. Yes, this is free. Share it in the chat. Put it up when you so that people can connect with it. I'm going to give you guys a very simple story. I know it's almost time to wrap up. The reason why I picked this particular topic, cultivating confidence, I see my daughter. Everyone's like, wow, she's super confident. She went through extreme bullying, extreme severe bullying. When it first started, she stood up for herself. She used her voice. She would say, I'm not bad, are you? Right? Mm-hmm. It became so intense, even though the teachers stepped in and they did the stuff. The one particular student, he calmed down for a few months, paid attention to what's going on. He started to see how Faith's attitude, how Faith's personality, all of those things, how it shifted from him being, I don't like the word popular, but everyone following his way of being, to all of a sudden people want to talk to her and get to know her. And she was making friends. And then after he paid attention to all of those things, now he wanted to lead the pack. He wanted to lead the group, the classroom. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, threatened her, sadly.
Oh,
so Faith's confidence in that, it scared her. But in the moment, because she was prepared, she knew how to defend herself, how to stay the course. And she used her voice when it was necessary to do so. And I share this with you because we all have confidence, but we're all going to encounter a time, a person, or a situation where all of our confidence are going to be tested or shaken, I should say, not tested, but more so shaken. So this is why it's important for children in special ed or on the spectrum. That level of confidence really needs to be strong. That level of self needs to be strong, as well as for them to know that they are supported, that they are supported, that they have support. And so in saying that, this is why now she's homeschooled, because she said, Mama, I don't want to go back to school. He was involved in one of the programs and the after school programs that she used to go to, and she really liked it. So I don't want to go. I don't want to be around this person. And so now she was confident in certain things, but then now it was rebuilding another area of confidence because she didn't want to leave the home. She didn't want to see this person around because we're all kind of live not close to each other, but we're in the same community, the same area.
Right.
So then that took a few months even for her to go and share her thoughts before she would pick up the phone and record something and then say, Mom, this is what I have. I want this to go up. She didn't do that for about 5 months. But now these last 2 weeks, end of August, beginning of September, now she's sharing some of her wisdom. So even if you go on YouTube, you will hear her talking and saying, be kind to yourself. Remember to be brave and face your fears, right? She's sharing these things because she knows what that experience was like, that I went through something, I was feeling confident. My confidence was shaken a bit. And now to strengthen the resilience, strengthen who she is, her character, and her confidence to a different level.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just having a conversation earlier today about bullying and how bullying is one of, to my thinking, the most difficult things to address, because unless you hear or see it happening, it's, you're calling one student a liar or one person a liar, because, you know, one person says one thing, the other person says it's different. And how do you know who to believe? And, you know, and then working with both parties, because the person who is doing the bullying is probably lacking something. Mm-hmm. And this is their way of filling themselves up. And without realizing, you know, how they're necessarily tearing somebody else down in the process. And so you have to work with both people in that situation.
Absolutely. And when he started bullying her, he did it with someone else, another student. And other kids heard what he said. She told the teacher right away what he said. And he didn't deny it. Right. Mm-hmm. He's 5, 6 years old. He didn't deny it. Like, this is what he said, because other people heard. Same thing when he threatened her. He did it at lunchtime, at the lunchroom table, in front of other students. So, some of them were her friends at that time. It's not that she was lying. And because they addressed that first situation where he was, and his parents knew about it, I didn't make a big deal, because they dealt with it, and the actions that they took, I thought it was appropriate at that time. So I was like, okay, this is great. And my role as a parent now is to support Faith and to help her, you know, to encourage her to stand up for herself, to use her voice, to be herself all the way through, and to heal. Healing is so important in that piece.
Yes.
But when he escalated it to what he did, I was like, yeah, this, your solution is not acceptable.
Right.
He is 6, but it's still not acceptable, because he's not learned anything. And so I had to focus on, one, listening, as well as healing, helping her heal, because I can't go through that with her, only she can do it, and go through that process. And it's very abusive. Bullying is abuse. And if you speak with even adults that go through that, the mental voice that repeats itself, sometimes all of a sudden they're walking down the street or something, and then they just break down in like a cold sweat or crying or shivering. It isn't because of anything. It's just something can trigger it. Yeah. Anything can trigger it. And that mental piece, that mindset piece, the perspective shift, all of those things, it's a continuous healing journey. And of course, there's the forgiveness piece that goes into it, and so on and so forth. But really, with me and with parents, and I encourage anyone that's listening, and your child is probably in a special ed program or not, maybe they are going through that bullying, truly listen to your children and help them heal. Support them. Continuously encourage them to say, I believe you. I'm supporting you. I'm going to defend you, but I need you to be honest with me. That's part of the communication and the bonding that needs to happen. And that piece, I've even come across parents. There were parents whose children are bullied for years, and the parents did not know, the schools did nothing about it, until their children, you know, are trying to say, I don't even want to be in this world anymore.
Right.
And it's like, no, this is, that's not the answer. And so then it's like, that's when they're reconnecting. So really communicate with your children, let them know that you support them, that you love them, and build that peace, that confidence piece, that empowerment piece.
Yes, that is so incredibly important. Just from the mental health aspect of it, absolutely 100%. So what I did while you were sharing all of that is I went ahead and shared in the chat your, that's the one I already shared.
No,
I did share the Powered Cultivating, and then I also shared your Facebook page. So it's just facebook.com/faithandsparklesworld. Same thing with Instagram. It's at Faith and Sparkles World if you're looking for them on Instagram. And I do also have in the chat the, the Power of Cultivating Confidence workshop coming up that is free. And that was September, 27th.
Yes.
Yeah. And so for those of you who are watching this in the replay, in the video format, hopefully you're catching it before then. For those of you who are just listening to this as podcast episode, this is already passed. So I apologize that you're hearing about this wonderful event that's coming up, but you will have missed it by the time this actually comes out as a podcast. But definitely check in on Faith and Sparkles World and see what they might have going on at the time that you're listening to this, because I imagine they are going to have things going on a fairly regular basis, trying to do as I do, reach out to as many people as possible, help as many people as possible, empower as many people as possible. Delisa, thank you so very much for being with me today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you and learning more about what it is that you do and how you're raising faith and what an incredible young girl that she is. I mean, at age six, to have two books under her belt as an author and, you know, a speaker and just doing all of the great things that she is doing. I want to give you one last opportunity. If there's anything that you had wanted to talk about or say that you haven't felt that you've had an opportunity to do or do it as well or as much as you wanted to, this is that opportunity now.
The only thing I would share with the parents that are listening, to the educators that are listening, is to listen to your students and listen to your children with an open heart and know that they are following your leadership. So use your words wisely and encourage them.
Awesome. That is beautiful. Thank you so much, everybody else. Join me next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.